much.
This is a weekly podcast to update you on the volcanic activity of the week. I'm one of your hosts, Alessandro Musu.
And I'm your other host, Corinne Jorgensen. We're two PhD students at the University of Geneva.
We study volcanoes and are here to give you all the hot volcano news.
So first we'll give you a quick update on some of the week's activity, and then we'll focus in on one volcano, and we're talking about Iceland again this week because it's really beautiful and exciting and lovely.
Yeah, it is. So let's go for it.
It's March 29th at the time of recording, and here's your volcanic update.
America this week saw ash advisories from Popocatépetl in central Mexico, Fuego in Guatemala, Nevado de Ruiz in Colombia, and Sabancaya in Peru. Reventador had an eruption on the 24th of March with explosion and ash plumes rising up to 1-2 kilometers, and also Sangay had high activity as well, with daily explosions and strong steam and ash emissions, reaching up to 1.5 kilometers.
So Pacaya was the big star of the Americas this week, where the volcano has produced moderate to strong strombolian activity from the summit crater, with a dense ash plume reaching up to 3.5 kilometers in height. The volcano has been producing a real lava flow field comprised of multiple lava flows. The big one we've been following on the northwest flank is now 2.5 kilometers long and 250 meters wide. And on Friday, March the 26th, a new fissure vent opened on the eastern flank, where a new spatter cone has been growing.
Sophia Saint Vincent, located in West Indies in the Caribbean Sea, has been steadily active since December 2020, as reported this week. It hasn't blown yet, but we'll keep watching, and of course, the alert level remains high. Orange, that is the second highest level on a four-call scale.
So Alaska has been busy too. Cleveland volcano, not the city, saw a volcanic tectonic earthquake with 4.3 magnitude. And Vinaminov in the Alaskan Peninsula is producing low-level explosive and effusive activity as per the last few weeks.
Going back to Europe, Kwiatkowski suddenly stopped its activity on March 25th. But it's not the same for Etna, that after several days of silence produced the longest lava fountain paroxysm of this series, started in February. This is the 16th fountain paroxysm occur in only 5 weeks' time. That's impressive. Mm-hmm. And this eruption was an impressively long and intense eruption, lasting the whole night and producing also a mesmerizing glowing avalanche. So, thank you for the show, Mama Edna.
So, in Piton de la Fournaise volcano, apologies for my bad French accent, which is in La Réunion, France, which is geographically not actually in Europe, it's off the coast of Madagascar. Anyways, it's been active. There's been more than 250 earthquakes between the 13th to 24th of March, with ground deformation observed, and was determined to be from a source located 2 kilometers beneath the Dolomieuc crater, and it's thought that this is probably a shallow magma chamber forming there.
Thank you, Corinne, but also Asia. So a lot of ash advisories this week from Dukono in Halmahera, Ranung in East Java, Sakurajima in Japan, and also Sinabung in Sumatra. Merapi in Java, Indonesia, produced glowing avalanches continuously from the active dome, that actually is growing in two independent sectors, to the southwest and the southeast. The volume of the lava dome in the southwest sector is about 840,000 cubic meter, with a grow rate of about 12,900 cubic meter per day.
So Taal in the Philippines has also been busy. We mentioned it last week as well. No eruptions for the moment, but the volcanic seismic unrest at the volcano is at elevated levels. During a single 24-hour reporting window, the volcanic observatory recorded 259 volcanic earthquakes, which included 236 episodes of volcanic tremors, which lasted up to 22 minutes of duration. That's within one single 24-hour reporting window. This tells us that there's been elevated fluid movement of gas and water and possibly magma at the surface. So we'll keep our eye on Taal to see what happens. So that's it for the volcanic update for the week. On to the focus. week we're going to talk about Iceland again, because the world is obsessed with Iceland. I am obsessed with Iceland.
And I am obsessed with Iceland
yeah,
as well.
Have you been watching the videos? I watch it all the time.
It's
kind of like watching a fire, you know? Like those fire videos my grandma used to watch, except for it's like, it's a volcano.
Yeah.
But it's wonderful. It's wonderful.
It's really crazy. And there are really several beautiful drone videos.
Oh my
videos.
Gosh, it's incredible. It's incredible. Okay, we of course are talking about the Fagradalsfjall mountain on the Reykjanes Peninsula, which has been doing lots of busy things. Last week we talked to our friend and colleague Elisabeth Penza about it, but we're going to talk about it again this week. But okay, first thing, quick thing about the volcano watching. I was really interested because, like, there's been a lot of people. Like, when you look at the videos, there's obviously a lot of people there. And, like, I mean, this is an active volcano, so, like, it's interesting to hear. So, apparently, some volunteers have already made, like, a hiking path. There's, like, a parking spot already. And, like, apparently, it's, like, a really nice 1.5-hour hike out there. There's a viewing area. And, like, there's also apparently been some, like, issues with people not prepared for cold weather. And there's also emissions to consider. So,
yeah, and it's also, I don't know, it's probably a really life-changing landscape.
Oh my gosh,
yeah.
But also, like, what a dream, oh my gosh. Anyway, so cool, so we're jealous of everyone who's there. Okay, so the activity that we've been seeing is concentrated in two adjacent vents, which have been making these mini cones. And the lava has been pouring out of these cones into thin lava flows, and this has been filling the Geldingadalur Valley. At one point, there was actually a major collapse on one of the sides of these little cones, and the footage from that was amazing, just lava gushing out, and the lava has then been preferentially erupting from that side. But the really cool question is, when will the valley get filled? And actually, there's been a lot of people who've been thinking about this. So if we look at a tweet from Regnar Heiðarpétursson from the Icelandic Meteorology Office, who tweeted models from Gro Peterson at the University of Iceland, who she did some modeling of this flow. And if you use the current eruption rate, which is 5.8 meters cubed, and if it continues like this, then it should flow over this valley by the middle of this week, so maybe by Wednesday. And then it'll start filling the next valley over, which is in the southwest. We will have retweeted this this work. It's really cool. The maps are neat, so we recommend you check it out. Maybe they'll set up a second webcam so we can see the second valley being filled, which is super cool.
That's very, very, very cool.
Yeah. Okay, so one thing we've been joking about is that all of the magma that we've been chatting about has been primitive. But yeah, so because Alessandro and I are big nerds when it comes to geochemistry, of course we want to talk about the magma composition. So it's primitive. So like we talked about a few weeks ago, this means that it's from the mantle and it's not from the crust. And actually, as noted from a blog, Volcano Cafe, it's more primitive than previous eruptions at the Reykjanes Peninsula. So that's pretty cool. Though it's also been thought that the magma spent a little bit of time at some lower depths, so between 2 to 5 kilometers instead of like primitive, which would be definitely over 15 kilometers. So essentially what's happened is that this magma came up from the mantle, it collected at this dike for a little bit, eventually found a weakness, propagated to the surface, and then erupted. Now there's a little bit of a chicken and an egg problem here of, did the earthquake cause the magma to move, or the magma moving to cause the earthquake, and you know, whatever. The real question is here is whether or not this dike is going to empty out, which is thought to take maybe 100 days with the current eruption rate from this Volcano Cafe blog.
It's pretty slow eruption rate.
Yeah, it's not that fast.
Compared to, I don't know, also the Hawaiian.
Oh, yeah.
It's so fast, like water.
Yeah. Yeah, but okay, so the real question, though, is whether or not this dike will empty out. So it's thought that that it'll take 100 days, maybe less if you consider like cooling and solidifying on the sides, given the amount of magma that was thought to be propagated into this dike. So, and then that's it. Or if it's still being fed from below, and then potentially we're watching the forming of a new shield volcano, which is, honestly,
yeah,
that's super
incredible.
Cool.
Yeah. I don't know, it continue with this rate we won't probably see the end of the show, okay?
Who knows? Who's to say? Yeah, we don't know at this point. So perhaps we'll get more INSAR data, which will tell us if there's been more magma added into this dike or not. And I guess we'll just have to keep watching and see what happens.
So unluckily, we are arrived at the end of this episode.
Thanks so much for listening and taking time out of your day to listen to us be big nerds about volcanoes.
Yeah, you can follow us on Twitter at @volcano_watch or on Instagram at @volcano_watch_thepodcast.
We'll be back next week with more volcano news.
Yeah.
Have a great week.
If you are curious and want to know more, we highly recommend you check out volcanodiscovery.com or volcanocafe.org, which are sources that we used to research this episode. They have lots of great information about the volcanoes that we spoke about today and some pictures too. We recommend you check it out.
Perfect.